wildlife area. One had almost entirely been abandoned. They were not using the language at all in day-to-day use. They were using a trade language. So we're like, okay, you can still come to the project, but you can use your trade language in your local variety and still be part of this oral storying project. But they're not going to go on to do Bible translation. And then some pictures. So this was our team. So it's me and my colleague and some people from the Oral Bible Storying Workshop that's existing. These two men the guy that's pointing and the guy in red, and the other two were a local boat driver and a local just guy who knew his way around and had connections. So, and this is an example of the Oral Bible Storying memory techniques that use. They'll map out a storyboard of how to remember the story. Traveling in boats on rivers was how we got around. No hiking at all. It was very luxurious. And there's me collecting a word list so we can compare between the villages and confirm that, yes, they all do speak basically the same dialect. It was absolutely beautiful. And the next one, Mamusi. This was an existing language translation project that was in a fairly large language, according to PNG, 12,000 people, which doesn't sound like a lot in other contexts, but in PNG, that's a big language. and it's very rough terrain, so they weren't able to survey by themselves. They needed some help figuring out a plan. So they needed to know how well the translation they'd started would be understood in the corners, so up in the remote areas, sort of the north and the west there. And the answer, will they all understand it? No. Those people up in the north, they could barely understand the translation sample that we brought along. And there's a couple villages in the south that are a different language. They still call themselves Mamusi, but they're a separate language. Fortunately, there's a fair bit of bilingualism between that language and the Mamusi translation language, so they won't need a separate adaptation. But even in this one, you know, relatively small language, there's enough variety that they're going to need to do an adaptation. So some pictures. So it was very mountainous. This was some of the most challenging hiking I've experienced in my life. Also dealing with heat stroke didn't help. but fortunately, some of the area had roads that were built by the Palm Company. So we were able to take a fairly rough pickup truck through too. There's some pictures so they've already translated the Jesus film. So we were able to show the Jesus film in a couple of the villages for the first time. And at the bottom, you see them reading our sample translation to see how well they understood it and also to mark how many changes they would make to make it into their own variety, which is a new tool we're developing and we're still working out the kinks, but it was fun. The next was the Asada O survey. This is a translation project actually sponsored by Wycliffe Canada. And it's part of a cluster project where there's an expat program director, but all of the work of translation, all of the translation consulting is done by people from a neighboring language project that have just finished their translation, so they're helping their neighbors. It's a really neat project, but they needed help with their dialect survey, so we came in with some linguistics trainees. We found out there's two distinct groups, but they understand each other well enough that translation will be good. And a few pictures from that. We were very warmly welcomed everywhere we went. It was lovely. Beautiful river valleys. And on this one, we let the linguistics trainees take over collecting the word lists and doing some of the tools, and they did a great job. And they learned a lot from that experience. And I've now moved on to learning a role in sign language. So in 2023, I learned that there's a severe shortage of sign language surveyors globally. There's just a lot of sign languages out there, but we know very little about them. There's a lot of them that just like, we assume there's a sign language in this country. We don't know what it's like or what it's related to, but we assume the deaf must communicate with each other, we hope. So we need people to go and check and see what's going on. All of India hasn't been surveyed. They assume there's probably about one per province. They don't know. So we really need people to do sign language surveys. I am currently training so that I can help in that work, as well as supporting a project that's already happening in PNG with a sign language project. Mostly focused on language development, because at this point there's a lot of people in PNG that are deaf that don't have access to sign language to communicate with their friends and family. Sometimes they'll use a rudimentary family sign, but their access to communication is very limited. So we're trying to alleviate that. And just a few pictures of the work there. So that's us going to Fiji. Yay. We did mostly work in workshops, but we got out to the beach a couple times in the evenings. And then there's, on the bottom, we have Lucia and Noah working on the Bloom books. They're sort of electronic books to learn sign language. So that's just a little bit of what I've been up to. But I do want to say thank you for everyone who has been praying for me over the last 3 years. It has been a remarkable experience. So I want to report some answers to prayers. God has been using the work we are doing in PNG in powerful ways. I don't have enough time to share all the stories, but I would love to tell them to you one-on-one. God has provided me with a community of friends. Ukurampa is a wonderful place, and it really feels like home. I've even been blessed with a quirky little house all to myself. That has been a huge blessing to me, to have that stability. I now have the opportunity to work on sign languages, which is something I've been interested in all of my life. And in 2022, PNG was hit by a 7.6 earthquake, and no one in our valley was seriously injured, and only maybe a dozen people in the country were killed. Which, if you've heard the statistics from other recent earthquakes, is a miracle, and God's hand was definitely in that. So just a few pictures of those answers to prayer. That is from our biannual conference where we celebrate all the work that has been published, and burger night. ladies get together, and dear Ruthie, who is, I'm very blessed to be one of the people of this very special needs child that's in our community, and she gives the best snuggles. So how can you be a part of this work? Well, you already are by being part of this church. This church has supported me in ways that I can never pay back. You can join my newsletter. I have a notebook, and it's not fancy, but you can write your email. If you were on my newsletter, but maybe you've changed your email or you don't seem to be getting them, they're not frequent, but you can add your name on there and I can make sure you're on it. You can contribute at wycliffe.ca. And if you, I mean, I am in PNG now because I heard God speaking in my heart when I was at a service similar to this saying like, hey, you have a degree in linguistics. What are you doing in Canada? I listened to that voice and I went to PNG. If you have a similar niggling, please consider it. PNG can use you with almost any skill. Anything from car mechanics to administration, anyone in administration, finance, that kind of thing. Teachers, we desperately need teachers right now in our school because next semester there will be families that need to homeschool because we don't have enough teachers. So, or if you know of any friends or family that would consider, please let them know that this is an option.
Thanks, Christy. So you notice on the slide, good relationships. She skipped over the finances so quickly and then went into just answered prayer and stuff. But how are you on financial support?
Currently, so before I left, if you recall, I was delayed a bit by COVID.
Yeah.
Do you remember COVID?
Yep.
It happened. I was blessed before I left with a large surplus. But I am not currently receiving my monthly budget in monthly contributions. I've been being topped up by that surplus from before. That surplus net is now becoming lower, so I will need to be at a full monthly support before I can return.
Okay, so what's the deficit right now? We've already talked about this, so
yes.
I know what the answer is, but you need to hear it.
I don't know the exact number because we haven't made my budget for going back yet, but it's about $1,000 a month.
About $1,000 a month. So that $1,000 a month has been covered by the surplus. So she had like $50,000, and every month that figure has been going down for the last three and a half years.
Yeah.
So this is our place to step in and help if we're able to. We're going to put her link in the ACE again this week so that you can go directly there. You give directly to Wycliffe,
yep.
That basically is the sending organization.
Yep. Yep.
So, yeah. Well, thanks so much, Christy.
Thank
appreciate
you.
That. I'll let you go and take a seat. I'm going to dismiss the children right now and let them get out to their classroom. And while they're on their way, I'm going to ask Lucas and Daniel to come up. And I think, Lucas, your slides are first, so I'm going to hand off the mic to you first. But these are the guys that over spring break with their schools. I won't tell your story for you, but why don't you tell us how your trip was?
Sweet. Hello, everybody. Ooh, lovely. All right, so I went to Nicaragua over spring break. We did lots of things. We did sharing stories with the people. It was let's actually talk about what the trip was. It was a connections trip between our school and our sister school, which is Centro de Fe. And we went up there and we hung out with the grad class. We didn't have a group photo, but what we did was we helped with the schooling part where we taught the younger grades. That was really fun. We showed them all of the Canadian animals, mainly the up north ones. They hadn't seen snow before. Crazy. But we did a lot of like construction work in the top left photo. We did tiling and we laid flooring for the classrooms. We also did lots of painting. That's like mixing concrete and stuff to help build flooring. But we also did like cultural days. For on the days that the students were in classes, we would go out and we would see what Nicaragua is, and we would go and explore the cultural side of it, because that was a big part of this trip. We did lots of activity days with the students. We went to the park and played soccer. ACS won for the first time in 14 years. I was a part of that, so. We did lots of storytelling and sharing. I led devotions for the Nicaraguans. That was terrifying, but fun. But I think one of the biggest things we did is we did home visits. So we went with some of the students to some of the students' homes and just talked with their parents and what life was about in Nicaragua and like what it means. Yeah. Right, top right corner, that was one of the photos of what a street where the homes like intersect would be. And it's small. But that's okay. Yeah. So it was nice to see how not only the touristy side of Nicaragua, but like what Nicaragua really is. So yeah, that was really good to see. I'd like to thank you all for the financial support. It would not have been possible without you. We actually made over the amount we needed to, which is amazing. And that gave us the opportunity to donate to the other people in my team who didn't have either as great as a church community or just great as a financial ability, which was pretty insane. It's awesome. Yeah, here, Danny.
Thank you. I went to Rwanda, which is a very small country in Central Africa, near the equator. We worked with an organization called Kurumbuka Leadership Solutions, which is like a small organization that actually works in a couple countries there. But they're a fully African organization that trains like fresh graduates, so around my age, a little older, to be leaders with a Christian focus, because they feel that a big issue in Africa is that they lack proper leadership with morals and just good training. So that's where we worked. We stayed in tents because they didn't have like buildings. So we're in Coleman camping tents on the ground. So the first week we were working with the students mostly, learning from each other. So that meant a lot of going out in the field. So we'd go on like 4-hour bus rides way up north, away into the east. Rwanda's very hilly and very remote, so a lot of not good infrastructure. So a lot of the villages don't have like any money or support from the government. And the government also kind of banned, they didn't want foreign aid. So we weren't allowed to like build stuff or to bring out care packages. So then we kind of have to find out how can we serve without actually like upsetting the locals. So we basically went to the farms, and then the farmers kind of presented problems of we don't have food. So we have to kind of try and network between villages. Their goal is to one village can provide this to the next village, and then they can share with each other, so that's more communal-based, and then they don't have to worry about not having the money. And then a very big issue in Rwanda was like the genocide in 1994, which killed 1 million people in about 100 days, which was 11% of the nation's population. And that really impacted a lot of people's faith there, because the government basically stepped away. A lot of Western nations withdrew peacekeeping troops, and then basically neighbors turned on and killed each other. We actually went to a church that people had like sought refuge into, and then the militias came and threw grenades in, killing everybody, and they killed the school children on the walls. And I was shocked that the government had turned into a memorial, and which meant they actually left like the bones where they were, and like the blood, which was kind of hard to see, but it was a good reminder for like the future generations. And then the other problem was that because it was ethnic violence, they couldn't charge like millions of people with committing hate crimes against each other, so they left it up to the different communities to seek like retribution with each other. So the church basically stepped in and said, we'll have a communal courts where we identify the perpetrators and then those who are targeted against, and we can find like community punishments for each other, and then we can have reconciliation through that. That was really like interesting to hear, and then that actually led to some really good testimonies I heard from some of the kids whose like families had died, and so they'd grown up in very non-Christian homes, very bitter, but they'd actually come to know Christ through missionaries and other work like we were doing, which is really like good to hear. And then that actually helped me in my faith a lot, because every night we'd have some MEI students and we'd have some of the African students, and we'd each share our testimonies, and they talked about issues that I struggle with, which is really good to hear, because it's good like global church kind of development that we're struggling with the same issues. By the second week was we actually managed to get into some local schools, which were all the schools that were kind of kindergarten to grade 12, age-wise. So we were actually running VBS. They basically stopped the whole school for the day and then just let us do whatever we want with the kids, basically. So we were running VBS, teaching the Bible, playing some games, teaching like some Canadian things. And then many of the students at Kurumbuka were from Uganda. Actually, most of them were not Rwandan either. So we're teaching from all our cultures, trying to share that with them. And then on the second Sunday, a big challenge came when there's pretty bad monsoon, which like a lot of rain came, a lot of wind blew. It basically threw our tents into this like muddy pond thing, which made all our clothes like completely muddy. All our Bibles were like kind of ruined. Everything was pretty destroyed. It actually went and bought us a washing machine to fix everything, and we plugged it in. The like power grid died the moment we plugged it in, so that was fun to wash everything. It was a really good experience. Spiritually, I grew a lot throughout that. And then I just want to say thank you for people who prayed. Just like Lucas, we actually raised more than I needed, and we used the excess money to buy health insurance because it was like really cheap there to buy health insurance for like 1 year for people. So I think from all the students on my team, we bought like 1,000 health insurances or something crazy for everybody. So yeah, it was really impactful.
Thanks, guys. So just so you know, we're going to pray for everybody at the end. So that's why I'm just going to let them go be seated. And we're going to pray for all of these people at the end. Glenda's going to come and give us an update on Casa de Luz.
Thank you, guys. That was awesome. So glad you're home safe and sound. Okay, good morning, everyone. I'm really excited to share some important and really inspiring updates from some of our mission partners, and I'm going to start with Casa de Luz in Primo Tapia, Mexico. So there's a new chapter underway at CDL, and you may or may not have heard this yet, but Tony and Aaron Santos, who have faithfully led the ministry there for the past 13 years, are transitioning to a brand new ministry that the Lord has been preparing them for. It's been a deeply prayerful and difficult time for them, actually, because they're so their love for the CDL family and the incredible growth that they've witnessed over their years there has just really made it hard for them to make this decision. But they just clearly sensed God's direction. Both Tony and Aaron have spent the last few years in preparation, with Aaron completing her master's and now nearing the end of her doctoral studies. Tony's also been pursuing some seminary training, and together they're launching a brand new initiative. It's called the Ebenezer Institute of Ministry Formation, which is coming under the Pentecostal Assemblies of God. So this is a really big change for them. They had initially, when we first were presented with the information, planned to be starting into this in the fall, but all of a sudden the timeline got moved up and they started in April. So you're hearing about it, and they're already diving into that. So they're going to continue to live in Primo Tapia. They're offering online courses and periodically traveling to train leaders in person. And the new ministry is very timely, with because La Hermosa Church that has been connected with them from the very beginning has planted 3 new churches recently, in recent years, and all those pastors leading the churches have zero theological training. And so this is just on Tony and Aaron's heart that they want them to have the support and the training. And so those people that are very close to them will be some of the first students, along with some others there as well. So Tony and Aaron have had a big part in selecting and training the new leaders. It's going to take 4 people to take over for what they did. And they will be stepping in. And I'd like to introduce you to the new team. Just briefly, so there's Abby. She's going to be their development and spiritual formation manager. There's Luis, who's going to be the financial operations manager. Marta, children's center operations manager. And Becky, the youth development manager. And all of these individuals have been involved with CDL for a number of years and have just fit right in and And Tony and Aaron have been a part of selecting and training them. And if you want more information, there's now lots of, like, a full bio and everything on their website. It's easy to find if you want to go and look up CDL's website. So our missions committee has really thoughtfully and prayerfully reviewed this big transition, and we have decided that we will be transferring our monthly support to these new leaders. And the ongoing work at Casa de Luz that we have been supporting for a long time. The Santoses personally are going forward. They have some good backing already. They are still in need of some support, and that is something that we can encourage you to personally consider participating with them in their new venture if that is of interest to you. Also, just quickly, some on our missions team met, our committee met with Earl and Rhonda Fast this week, longtime workers in Primo Tapia, 7 years they've been there, and they're launching the new breakfast program. You saw it in the announcement. We just really like to encourage you. It's a very exciting program for really the poorest of the poor in Primo Tapia. Okay. Just like to share a little quick update about Jariah Shun. Many of us thought that Jariah would be returning to the Lower Mainland to be retiring, but the Lord clearly had other plans for her, and she's heading to the Philippines. It's going to be a 2-year commitment for her at this point. She's working amongst a remote people group. And the community, though, is very interesting because they have historical and language ties to the very same people group that she has been working with for many, many years in Taiwan. And so that was presented to her, and she just feels an affinity for them already because of the people that she's worked with already. She's got a deep connection there. So she's going to be doing some community development work, walking alongside students in missionary training program. And this project is under the Great Commission Foundation. And you can also go there and look at their website if you want. And it's called the Taiwan Paiwan Project, Mission Project. So at this time, Jariah isn't actually seeking any financial support from us, but she would really covet our prayers and just deeply value as our presence sort of with her as she walks into this new season. Okay, finally, from me anyways, we have a little video update from Wayne McMaster, who along with his wife Crystal and their family continue to serve faithfully in Cambodia. And so we're going to take a minute to look at that, a couple of minutes. And then just following that, we've got a few more presentations for you. So I'll just mention that we will have Michelle and James come up after the video. They both work with Youth Unlimited. And then following them, we will have Peter and Kim, who are both with Power to Change. Okay, so let's just hear from Wayne.
Good morning, Mountain Park Church family. If you do not remember me, my name is Wayne McMaster. My wife Crystal and I and our girls are missionaries with Wycliffe Bible Translators in Cambodia. We first came maybe about 7 or 8 at this point, as we were in BC at Trinity Western University studying linguistics so that we could come meet the requirements to be able to join the team to do Bible translation, to work to bring God's word to the minority languages of people all around the world. We had to move house just about a year ago now. And shortly after we moved, the rains came, and we are coming into rainy season again because we're at the 1 year mark, and so goes the seasons. And so our house is going to be facing the water again. So last year our home did flood quite a bit. So we have construction going on right now outside. I'm not sure if you can hear it in the background, but there's jackhammers tearing up our front porch trying to work on drainage issues before the rains come again, because they came just a few days ago and we were spared from any major disaster, but they are gonna come in a much greater amount. as well that a couple years back, the school had asked, we didn't have a chemistry teacher and they needed one. And I said, okay, I'll teach chemistry for a year, but please find somebody else. And they did after a year. And then they asked me if I would teach the Bible classes for the 11th and 12th graders for their last 2 years of high school. And I'm doing that this year. And in that, they asked me then this year if I would consider coming and being the school's chaplain for next year, which is an absolute love of mine, and I agreed to do that. So a big part of my responsibilities for this next season will be to help shepherd the children at our school who are largely missionary kids, though certainly not all. And so I'll have a wonderful opportunity to be able to go there and to lead their chapel services and still teach the 11th and 12th graders in their Christian Perspectives Bible class. You can pray for our house and that we don't get deluged by the water for schooling and the changes coming up as I step into a greater spiritual care responsibility for our wider community. And then just for our team and our Bible translation projects as well too, we have new people coming, we have new projects starting. So you can be praying for the survey efforts, you can be praying for the new projects that are starting for the languages that still don't have a writing system yet. And so yeah, current projects and new members. We have at one team that's in the country right now, a young family with one child that is considering coming here as well too. So they're coming to visit to understand our team, to understand the work that's being done. So that's the update, but we look forward to coming back to Mountain Park Church again sometime soon. I don't know exactly when that will be, but we're always blessed by the community, the friendship, the encouragement, the support that we get from Mountain Park Church. So we love you guys, and we will look forward to seeing you again next time, hopefully very soon.
Right. It's good to be here with you guys. I'll try to make this very precise. That's how I'm going to phrase that. Psalm 147 says, "Praise the Lord, how good to sing praises to our God, how delightful and how fitting, for he heals the brokenhearted and he bandages their wounds." That scripture has been a hallmark of my ministry and a cornerstone of it. It's felt like for a very long time. There's been a lot of brokenheartedness that I interact with on a regular basis in the teenagers that are part of my ministry who attend on a regular basis. I have shared multiple times the stories of a young woman that I call Nancy, who has lost both her parents. And I can't remember actually whether I shared this with you guys congregationally, but at the beginning of April, we were up at Rock Ridge Camp for our YFC regional retreat. So that took us out of our normal ministry rhythm for a few days, but it was a time of rest and relaxation and reconnecting with the Spirit of God. And it was an incredible time. But I told the kids, of course, that we were going to be away, and I got a message from Nancy while I was up there. There was just some stuff that was going on, right? I won't say like the normal crisis, but one of the reoccurring kind of crises that often happens in the lives of our teenagers. And so I was able to kind of message her and just encourage her to pray and to seek God in the middle of her pain that she was going through at that moment. And because I couldn't be there. But Jesus was able to be there. And so she texted me this. She said, "Hey, James, I prayed twice today, and I just wanted to let you know that I did feel some comfort and almost at peace for a little bit. Thank you for helping me through the journey." She said, "You don't need to respond. I know you're at the retreat today. It's probably been a long day, but I hope you're having so much fun. Have a good day, good night, and good tomorrow." Just those little bits of God bringing comfort to people's lives. And healing those wounds, that brokenness. I continue to be amazed, humbled, and privileged to serve in this role, and I'm so grateful for all of you and your partnership in this. It's really, really been an amazing thing. very quickly, kind of on the financial side of things, start with scripture here. Romans 10 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on the name of the one who they not believed in? And how can they believe in one that they have not heard of? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can someone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I take that as a blessing for myself, but I also extend that to you. Like, thank you so much. You are blessed by God because of your faithfulness, because of your participation, because of your partnership, and I am so grateful for that. One, again, there's so many opportunities, and again, I'm the support from not just on a church level, but from so many of you individually has been absolutely incredible, and I cherish that very, very deeply. We have a fundraising opportunity at the end of this month. YFC has decided that we're going to, our Youth Unlimited here in Abbotsford, we're going to do some dinner nights. But the idea is that you would invite some friends over, you would share a meal together, and then there's gonna be about a 25-minute long video talking about some of the ministry that happens here in Abbotsford. And then there would be an opportunity for you and your guests to contribute financially to the work that is going on. If that is something that interests you. Oh, and the other thing is we will be covering the cost of your meal, and we've partnered with about 5 or 6 local restaurants to make that happen. So it's like, I think Ocean Park Pizza, there's a Thai restaurant. Anyhow, we can get into the details. If that's something that interests you and you'd be open to hosting one of those dinners, I would love to talk to you after the service. Thanks so much.
Yeah, kind of what James said. Lots going on, and we're both with Youth Unlimited in very different areas. You're primarily working in schools, right, James? I'm working with the Chosen program, Jester's Theater. So a lot of people, they pay to come to our program, but we also have many kids that, community kids that aren't involved in any positive kind of programming or friendship groups that we take on and we have sponsorships for. So with Youth Unlimited and Jester's Theater in particular, I wear a lot of hats in my program, from administrator to youth worker to, well, Girl Friday, whatever needs to happen. And actually, a couple of years ago, I was given an award with the Everything Everywhere All at Once Award. And that kind of sums up my job with Youth Unlimited. I wanted to share just quickly a couple of stories. And I want to say that it's interesting that this phrase was on my mind. God said he's in the long game. And that's been very evident in what everybody else has shared here today already. God is in the long game. And I just want to encourage each and every one of you as well that maybe has been praying for family members or friends or whatnot, and it seems like you're not getting answers. God's in the long game. So, but in that, I'm going to share a verse that's been kind of prevalent in my life and what's been going on with my job. So it's Romans 12:12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. And that's shown up. I'm going to share two of my kids quickly. And specifically because of summer camp and because summer camps are coming up, and this is where I initially met both of them. One of the girls came to us in 2019 as a they-them, really struggling with identity and had been cutting terribly. Her arms, her wrists were bound. I've since seen the scars on her legs. And she was really conflicted and really struggling. And she came to our program, came in the summertime. We didn't see her the next year, but then we saw her again.
I'm just going to put a little pin in that. In 2020, of course, 2020 and COVID, we wanted to continue camp, so we saw the value in it. And so we did outdoor camp, where I met a boy who was very disruptive, outbursts, inappropriate comments, always trying to draw attention to himself because he was actually terribly shy. And he wanted attention, but he didn't know how to ask for it in a positive way. Neither one of them had any friends. Fast forward a few years. The girl is still with our programming. When we asked her why, she said, because it's safe here. The boy is still with our programming, and we asked him why. He said, because I found my courage here. The end of camps last year was the first year in many years that we didn't see any conversions. And we were shocked. We average, you know, a dozen, 15, maybe even 20 kids that say, I want to follow Jesus. And last year, not one of them. And we're like, Lord, what's going on? Did we miss the mark? Did we do something we shouldn't have done or whatnot? This past 2 weeks, we've been interviewing for summer camp staff. The two kids that I just mentioned want to come on board as staff in training, as junior positions. We've had the opportunity to work with these kids. They've driven in my car. I've mentored the girl. I've had suicide talks with the boy. And we saw a huge shift in them last summer. The girl is on the track to following Jesus. The boy has accepted Christ. And we're saying, why do you come here? You don't even want to be in theater when you're done. We're a theater group because this is where it's safe. This is where I've found friends. And this is where I want to teach other people what I have learned. So I share that because even though I started with God is in the long game, and that's actually a relatively short period of time when we're talking 6 years or 5 years, but these kids have come around and they're seeing the hope and the future of life with Jesus. And so I thank you, I thank this church for support, many individuals, for sharing your own stories, for being able to share my stories. And I just want to say thank you from the depth of my heart. Thank you. If you want to hear more stories, I do have a monthly newsletter. And if you come to the back table and you say, you know, I don't get your newsletter and I'd love to, just write down your email and I'll add you to the list and you can get the stories and the pictures. I don't put pictures here when I'm telling specific stories, but I can in my newsletters with permission. So I'd love to add you to the list and thank you again.
Thanks. How's everybody doing? You want to take a stretch break? Just stand. Yeah, Kim's going to demonstrate. We do this in seminars in Ukraine. We say, everybody stand up, turn to the person next to you, rub their shoulder a bit, reciprocate, turn around. Yeah, I think a stretch break even for 5 seconds. While you're doing that, I just want to share, Kim and I are technically on sabbatical, so we're supposed to detach and kind of decompress, but I'm really glad that we made an exception. We're actually here. I'm not exactly dressed to impress, but it's been a good month, and we have one more month of sabbatical, so I'm really grateful to God for that. Before I forget to say thank you at the end, I'm going to share a few things. I just want to say thank you to all of you for your financial support, for your prayerful support, for the encouragement, and for just an opportunity to come and share briefly. I am so encouraged to hear what people were sharing, even right up to this point. As Glenna had shared earlier, Kim and I work under Power to Change, which is kind of an umbrella ministry. I work with Global Aid Network and the Jesus Film Church Planting Strategy, and Kim works with Digital Strategies, which is the world is online, we help people know Jesus. That's their tagline. I want to just tie into a couple of things. One verse that says, when there's no fruit on the vine, I will trust in you. Sometimes we don't see the fruit. We don't see what God's doing in the hearts of people. I had a pastor in northern Sierra Leone share with me that there was a two-year stretch where we saw no fruit. We just heard Michelle say there's really nothing happening. Or we didn't see conversions this year. But God's working in people's hearts all the time under the surface. I think we don't take that seriously enough. The Holy Spirit's at work in people's hearts. And just to continue to engage, it's so encouraging to see that God had been working in those young people's hearts. I want to anchor in one verse, and that I want to anchor in Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And there are two things that will happen. The gospel will be proclaimed. We can choose to be a part of it, or we can choose not to be. And I see a whole congregation here that has chosen to be part of that in partnership with a bunch of, it's a collaborative effort. It really is a marathon, and it's a team. And then the end will come, and there will be a time when the end will come, and the harvest will take place. And that's freaky and exciting all at the same time. I'm going to try to encapsulate this, because as Pastor Norm knows, I can go extemporaneous on rabbit trails. With the online world that Kim is engaged in, Kim mentors mentors to expand and is engaged right now in 5 unreached people groups because that's where there's a lot of focus is reaching those target areas that Christy had mentioned also as well. I'm sideline, but forgive me. I'm so excited to hear the deaf community being reached because that is the final frontier, really, of unengaged, unreached people groups. That is the edge of the universe, and that is so exciting to see. Kim is engaged with 5 unreached people groups, Arabic, Farsi, Indonesian, Bengal, which is, that's Bangladesh, right? And the Hindi, which is particularly difficult. And it is just a challenging but encouraging time to see people in those countries step up to the plate and partner and collaborate to reach their unreached people groups. And in an online platform, you can reach people anywhere nowadays. One powerful element that I wanted to share about the mentoring, the online mentoring, is that we have teams that are collaborating together in meeting. There's a team of people in Mexico, for example. They gather online weekly to encourage each other, and they pray together. They're all mentors. They're all part of the team, but they don't just rely on themselves individually. They rely on the Holy Spirit to equip them to respond to messages that they may have received online through email or through social media platforms the week before. And God helps them collectively learn from each other and how to respond to some challenging messages. And God provides the fruit. And they learn together to see if there's something that that they can learn from each other in the process. There's one mentor, her name is Eunice. She's a full-time mentor that's serving in Mexico with the team there, and she's been able to walk alongside a lot of women in the country who are struggling with their marital relationships. And they study with these women what the Bible has to say about marriage relationships and encouraging the mentees to seek local counseling in their faith communities and to address far more in-depth challenges and to seek a faith community especially that they can encourage one another in. Jean Jesus is the leader of the mentoring groups in Mexico, and he was sharing about a message that he received from a man in prison. And this man had been given email access because he'd been behaving well, but they gave him email access. And that prisoner was connected anonymously with Jean Jesus through the Mentor Center platform. And the prisoner asked if someone could help come alongside him in his faith journey. So that's an unreached people group too. It's a hard target to reach if these people are in prison. And we're told to visit the prisoners. Well, if we can even do it online, why not? You could engage with people in prison from anywhere in the world. And Jean Jesus has been messaging with this prisoner regularly to help him go through a discipleship course online. I'm especially excited to hear just about the discipleship material and the theological training, orality-based material. Something that we've been engaging in some time is putting audio messages of the entire message of the Bible. It's called The Promise, and it goes from the garden to the garden in about 48 stories, I'm going to say. And there's a great amount of overlap because you can put an orality-based story on a listening device. If somebody's in prison, you can send them a link. Here, listen to this. And just start from the Bible. Start at the beginning of the Bible and work your way through and see where God has you fit into that story, because we're all part of a meta-narrative. We're all part of a story. And that's even what this is about, as we wait for that day to approach when the end will come. So I hope that excites you. I hope it excites you, because I know it's like drinking water from a fire hose. There's a lot of stuff happening, but it's an exciting place to be in. It's an exciting time to be in it. A little bit about the Jesus Film and Global Aid side of things. Since the last time I shared, I was in Sierra Leone, where we are integrating a savings, it's a biblically based savings group model for a village level to come alongside in the churches that we've planted throughout the country. So we've exceeded 1,000 churches in Sierra Leone alone in 14 years. And it's worth saying, a church is not like a cathedral. It might be 10 people in a small group with a young leader. It averages about 30, I would say. So it's exciting to see that that savings group model is integrating, and we're starting out on a pilot stage. That just finished last week, but final training for that finished last week. So they'll be working that out on a village level now. I have a few more trips coming up this year. I'll be going to Sierra Leone again later in the fall, and I'll be going to Benin and Togo in August. And that will be to just help coordinate and encourage the Jesus Film teams there as that continues and expands. There is an upcoming trip. I know that Christy invited you to come to Papua New Guinea. We have an upcoming trip to Tanzania in November. If you want to come to Tanzania, I don't want to step on that. You have options. You have options here. You can take those opportunities as the Lord leads. I'm not going to share any more. I'm just going to cut it off there. But Kim? Oh, bonus ministry. Wow. I think I might have. Did I share last time we had dinner at our place for people in Castlegar? We discovered the world is moving to Castlegar. We have hundreds of people from different countries. So I would just engage with them. And as we're talking with somebody from the Punjab or somebody from the Philippines at Tim Hortons, who's a worker, I'd say, where do you find good food? And they kind of all pout and they're sad. And I said, we need to do an international potluck, just invite people, and they all light up. So we started doing that in September. First month at our house, we had, I think, 35 people. We've topped up at 47 in our house from 13 countries. I could rattle them all. I've got them all in here. But the food is amazing, of course, because this woman three doors up, she's Mexican. She's from the Mazatlan area. And then we've got 12 Nigerians. You want to liven up a party, bring Nigerians to the party. And Peru, Colombia, New Zealand, Las Vegas, it's its own country. Ukraine, of course. I'm Hungarian. And we're just, and honestly, we haven't done anything, like, it hasn't been deliberately church-related, but it's given us an opportunity for the Christmas dinner just to say, hey, we're going to sing the most translated Christmas carol of all time. What is it? Silent Night, right? So we sang Silent Night. You can sing it in Klingon. They have it in Klingon, of all things. But it's just brought cohesion and community, and we do this every month. We call it second home because so many people are out of their element. When we lived in Ukraine, we felt like we didn't have a home. How do you integrate into community? I'm sure it's the same with you, Christy. Or it's when you go to Nicaragua or when you go to Rwanda, it stretches you. But having a safe place where these people could come to and enjoy good food, good fellowship, and be safe and accepted is really powerful. So I expect we'll see some fruit from that, Kim. Yeah, we have a core group of core members who are believers. We pray together, and we're trusting that the Lord's going to see some fruit. But we are meeting in the church basement because we've outgrown our home. 47 was really maxed out, and we have a pretty big home. But I'm gonna end there. But I'll turn it over to Pastor Norm. And again, thank you again. And thanks for letting me prattle.
As I said earlier, we're going to take some time to pray, and then once we're done, the missions team is also have some cookies over there. The idea is that you stick around and talk with some of these missionaries. They've got some displays, and to me, one of the things about missions is, we want to hear from our missionaries, yes, but it's always an invitation to participate. So hear that, what Christy and what a number of them said. Like actually going and being a part of this changes you, and that's part of why we're doing this, just to extend the invitation for us all to be a part of this and to explore these different callings that God has in different settings for us. Pray with me. Father, thank you so much for just the way that you call people, and the way Christy shared earlier, it was a service like this where she felt you tapping her on the shoulder. And just to see what's happened over the years of her life and her obedience and the fruit of that, we pray that you'd just bless her and continue to provide for her. We thank you for the experiences of our students, of schools that are creating opportunities for students to experience different cultures, to experience different political climates, to experience monsoons and teaching opportunities. And we just pray that these would be opportunities that would shape the lives of our young people and even of our families as we participate in these things, and that these would be settings, again, where you would tap us on the shoulder to invite. We thank you for the work of Casa de Luz and for the new leaders that you have in place there, and for the new challenges of the Ebenezer Institute as Tony and Aaron seek to equip pastors for the new churches that are being planted in that Primo Tapia area. And so we ask for your favor there, for the new meal program and all that's going on there. Thank you for the work of the McMasters, and pray that even as this week they're working on the flooding issues in their home, God, would you protect their home? Would you allow these repairs to be done in a timely manner before the monsoon rains really come? And for James and Michelle, and for the work that they're doing in our community here, we pray for these students that continue to seek you, that have a path towards you. They're followers of you, and yet have not yet made commitments to follow you in some cases. We pray that you would continue to draw them to yourselves. And for Peter and Kim, and for the work that they do, for the way that you use them internationally, both online and by Peter's presence in some of these African countries where they're planting churches and digging wells and equipping leaders. And for Jariah and for her new work, and for the way that you've connected her from her previous work now to something new and exciting in the Philippines. And we pray that you just bless her. And Father, for us, for the things that you call us to do by hearing these stories, for the generosity that's required to support missionaries, for the invitation to change the course of our lives and careers and to disrupt the things that are comfortable in our lives to participate with you. Our desire is to be a people of mission, and we just ask for the privilege of you tapping us on the shoulder and showing us how we can do that. And so we pray your blessing now on your kingdom people in this place, that we might see kingdom people in many other places. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.